Coming up, it's the best phone you can buy. Brian writes the deadliest tech we've ever had in the studio. And a mouse that will help you own. You gotta watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that helps you save money by offering a fair price for the services you use. Visit beforeyoubuy.ting.com to get $25 towards your first device or service and to find out how much you can save. Well, hey, 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 and welcome to Before You Buy. It's Twit's product review show, where we take the latest and the greatest gadgets and gizmos that we get here at the Twit Brickhouse in Petaluma, and we give them to the people who can give you the most honest review possible. Well, as always, we like to have a phone in our roundup because, well, let's face it, we all like our smartphones. So we asked Miriam Jouar if she could take a look at the HTC A9.
Hi, and welcome to Before You Buy. I'm Miriam Jouar, and this here is the HTC One A9. Yes, it's a very, very sexy-looking phone that comes from us from HTC and looks a lot like an iPhone. But let's not worry about that too much. I want to just point it out because I want to get it out of the way right away. This is a phenomenal phone. I'll start with that so I can get you guys a little excited. As you can see, it's got a 1080p display. This is a 5-inch display, and it's an AMOLED display. And honestly, it's really, really nice AMOLED display. It's got some really great color quality to it. Amazing viewing angles, as you can see, because AMOLED is like that. And you'll immediately notice something unusual about this phone is that unlike other HTC phones, it doesn't have the Boomsound dual speakers. Instead, down here is a fingerprint reader, and it lets you unlock the phone, as you can see, very, very quickly. Another thing you'll notice right away is that this does not look like HTC Sense. Well, it's because I put the Android, Google Now launcher on there. But let me switch it back so you can see, because one of the things about this phone is, as you can see, the tray here looks very much like a Nexus. It's because Sense is super lightweight on this phone. So flipping it over, of course, is where some interesting stuff is happening. This is a brushed aluminum. This is a full unibody brushed aluminum finish. There are four colors available. There's a silver. This is a kind of a dark gray, space gray, or whatever is what Apple would call this. And then there is a garnet red, which is kind of like a very dark, almost like red wine red. And then there's going to be a gold version. And as you can see, one of the things I like about this is, even though it does kind of look like an iPhone, you have to remember that HTC came out with the M7 design before the iPhone 6 and 6S and 6 Plus and 6S Plus. And so this is actually, you know, something that they're carrying on. And this is why I kind of laughingly said it's a bit of an iPhone imitation, because it really isn't. It is really HTC, you know, kind of pushing their design further. And, you know, of course, you know, using cues from a successful competing device. So you can see the antenna bars are seamlessly integrated here, just like on the M7. It's zero-gap construction, very thin. And then, of course, it is a bit more plastic, a little bit of a plastic window at the top. I'm not sure if we can see that in the video, but it's very well concealed. Instead of having this kind of ugly arc that you see on the iPhones, there's none of that. It's just a single line top and bottom. The camera is centered. It does stick out a little bit. And here's the exciting news. This is a 13 megapixel camera with optical image stabilization. It has OIS, and you know how much that matters in a modern phone camera. And I'll talk about the camera performance in a second. It is tremendous. You've got a dual LED flash here and a secondary microphone right underneath the main camera. Bunch of regulatory printing down here and the beautiful HTC logo. So back to the front, and again, fingerprint reader, very fast, very effective. You've got a 4-megapixel a camera here on the front. This is a ultra pixel, something HTC's been doing a lot of its phones, like the M9 and the M8, M9 Plus. And this is no autofocus to the front facing, but it's large pixels, 4-megapixel, great in low light for selfies. And of course, you have the earpiece up here, some sensors. There's a notification light embedded up here as well. At the bottom here, you have, sadly not centered, a micro USB charge and data port and the speaker that's the mono speaker. It's a good sounding mono speaker, but again, no boom sound here. And of course, headphone jack, primary mic. Now, what's interesting is that this device can support up to 192 kilohertz 24-bit audio, and it will upsample audio of a lower sample rate and lower audio quality to that sample rate. And it'll actually will actually play back 16-bit as 24-bit. And actually, it sounds a little better, and this is one of the first phones to do that. There are many phones that play back 192 24-bit, but this is, really a lot of attention to detail to the audio quality, despite the lack of boom sound speakers. So if you're listening with headphones, this is a really fantastic phone for playback. The power lock key is ridged in this really gorgeously beautiful feel to it. You can immediately know you're touching the power lock key instead of the volume rocker. The volume rocker is up here. And again, full metal construction, 2.5D glass. The glass kind of bends over the edge a little bit here. It's really beautifully made. And it does certainly feel and look a lot like an iPhone in that sense. But, the iPhone is a successful product, why not make something that looks like it? But here's something that's different, and that's the fact that you'll see what looks like two SIM trays here. And it's not dual SIM, actually. It is single SIM at the top here with a micro SD card slot at the bottom. So that's really cool. This phone comes in two versions. There is a 2 gigabyte of RAM, 16 gigabyte of storage version, and a 3 gigabyte of RAM, 32 gigabyte of storage version. The lesser version is shipping to Europe and some parts of Asia, and the better version is going to be available in the US and also other parts of Asia. And so this is actually the European version, the 2 gig, 16 gig, but, and because of that, it also does not have LTE bands that are compatible with the US. But obviously, when you buy this phone from HTC, and by the way, this is very exciting, you can buy this phone unlocked from HTC on their website, full price, that works on any carrier, and it's, it's the first time they've done it quite like that. And the one you'll get in the US is the 3 gig, 32 gig version. But remember, there's a micro SD card slot, so you can always expand the storage. Now, you're going to say, this is definitely a flagship-looking phone. I mean, the specs, the build quality, the materials, the OIS on the camera, this gorgeous display, and so on and so on. And it's, of course, running Marshmallow, which is it's the first non-Nexus device, from another manufacturer than Google, running Marshmallow out of the box, which is really exciting. It's going to cost you, right? I mean, clearly this is like a high-end phone. Well, it is billed basically as kind of an iconic flagship-type phone, but it actually, and it supersedes the M9, but it actually isn't really a flagship because the price is kind of crazy. It's $399 for this phone, unlocked for the 3-gigabyte, 32-gigabyte version. And, like I said, available on HTC's website. But there is some things you should know, and that's the specs are kind of mid-range. I mean, the 1080p 5-inch display, but also inside is a Snapdragon 617. That's an octa-core mid-range processor from Qualcomm. And you're going to say, why would they do that? Well, because you know what? Ultimately, this phone is not about the specs. It's not about putting a spec sheet out. It's about giving users an extremely awesome user experience. And yes, some things are helping, like OIS, to give you an extremely awesome user experience on the camera. But on the processor, it's perfectly snappy. This thing just flies. You don't really notice anything, slowing you down. in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I really don't think it matters. Unless you're maybe playing some super hardcore games, you really won't notice this at all. So an interesting thing here, by the way, since it's Marshmallow, you can hold the Google Now button, get contextual info about what's on the screen. And then here, this is an article about Pebble Time, so you can see some Pebble Time. It's all about Android. It found this on the page, and it gives you contextual information in Google Now. As you can see, everything is buttery smooth, Snapdragon 617. So a lot of people are going to be put off by the fact that it looks like an iPhone, by the fact that it has a mid-range processor. But honestly, you know, this feels like a flagship to me. This is going to be my daily driver because I'm so impressed. I'm not sure I need a Nexus this year. Also, I was going to show you the how lightweight Sense is. So let me actually show you that by going back to the default launcher here. This is what HTC Sense look like. So you have that little widget here that lets you select if you're out at home or at work. That's, you know, the widget you can remove. Of course, the awesome time and weather widget from HTC. And instead of Google Now, if you swipe this way, you get, I've disabled this actually accidentally by removing the News Republic app, but it's their Blink feed, which is a news feed that appears in the screen when you swipe to the side. So that's what it looks like. And then the only time you really know, as you saw, that you're in Sense is in the settings. Everything else, as I said, even this icon, quick icon tray, is pretty much straight out of a Nexus. So I think they've done a very, very good job at making Sense super lightweight. Even though I prefer the Google Now launcher and the Android keyboard, you know, I think this is as close as you can get to a Nexus for a price that can't be beat, with an industrial design and building materials that are incredible. And again, performance is really not an issue running a mid-range processor. And again, you know, there are, like, even a Snapdragon 400 series is a pretty damn awesome processor. So, you know, really, this is about user experience. And let's talk about that. Let me show you the camera real quick. They've changed the UI a little bit. You still have a pro mode here, obviously, that lets you do everything manual controls, which is great. Let me actually put this down for a second, take off my Huawei watch real quick, and show you, use that as a subject for the camera. As you can see here, I'm playing in manual controls, so everything is a little blown out, but I can adjust this manually and manual focus even. So I can do this and take a shot. And as you can see, it's super fast. There you have it, the shot I took. Really high quality manual focus. I was just doing it really quickly to show you. So the pro mode is great. There is a low light shot. Really tons of detail. The OIS really helps incredibly here. You can see this is in the dark, and this palm tree has tons of detail. This is near my house in San Francisco. And, you know, I took the same picture of the Nexus 5X, which we reviewed last week, and you'll see that this is actually a slightly better shot. It is a phenomenal camera. As much as the M9 camera was a disappointment, HTC has completely redeemed itself here. Look at this full auto shot with even a bit some light trails here on the side. And you've got, you know, an incredible amount of detail, no noise whatsoever to speak of. Really remarkable. It's up there with the G4, the Note 5. This, I couldn't even resolve this with the naked eye. Actually, in camera, it looks about as dark as it was to the naked eye. Yet, if I zoom in on this, you'll see that you get an incredible amount of detail of this mural at night because of the OIS. And here you can probably see a little better. This does look very dark because it's on purpose. It's a super long exposure. But look at the amount of detail in the windows and even that fence. OIS is totally helping out here. There's another great shot, full auto of the bus going by. So I did a lot of, obviously, trying to do low light shots because that's what I wanted to kind of establish whether this was worthy. Here's a fully manual controlled macro shot of this fork. And look at the level of detail on this fork. So the F over 2.0, by the way, there's a beautiful day shot of an old Mercedes. This is Lake Merritt in Oakland. And here, you know, you can see me in the reflection taking a picture. This double pane window, tons of detail. You can see a bit of blurriness because it's a triple pane glass. And there's a macro shot. Incredible amount of detail. This camera is really quite remarkable. So HTC's done it here. They finally redeemed themselves with a phone that we, people who enjoy a good, solid, all-rounded device will enjoy. And kudos to them for doing that. Let's go through the pros and cons really quickly and give you my recommendation. So the pros, a beautiful design. It's going to be very, what's the word, polarizing, because some people are going to not like that it's like an iPhone. But I think that the iPhone is a really good design, and why not, if you've already done this antenna bar stuff before everyone else, and you know, it's kind of really just an iteration of HTC's design, so why not make a phone that looks and feels as great as the iPhone? It is 7 millimeter thin. It is really super thin. Everything is metal and glass. It is gorgeous. Fast fingerprint reader, great specs, great camera. So build quality and materials is definitely a pro. Camera is definitely a pro. Overall experience, again, you know, a good balance of elements. And by the way, as a side note, the battery is a 2150 milliamp hours. It seems like a low amount, but it really isn't. With this processor, I have had zero issues with battery life. You know, I'm here, I've used it all day here, and as you can see, 79%, and we're, what, at 4:30 in the afternoon. So it's just doing great with battery. The cons, there are a few things. The camera does not support 4K video. So, you know, you get OIS on like the base iPhone. You need to go to the Plus to get the OIS on an iPhone. But the iPhones can do 4K this year. So this is more like last year's iPhone 6 and 6S, 6 Plus. What else? You still get a bit of sense. It's not a completely pure Android experience. So for some people, that will be a drawback. And finally, the last drawback is no wireless charging. Not that any other HTC phones have wireless charging. But, you know, it's a nice feature to have in some cases. But as a side note, it does have Quick Charge 3.0 on the micro USB, which means it can charge the phone in about 90 minutes. Actually, probably less than that. Probably in about an hour, which is really quite amazing. So even if the battery is a bit low and you feel like you're going through too much battery, you can just charge for a few minutes and you'll get back to enough time to use the phone for the rest of the day. So what's the verdict? You know, what is this? What has HTC done here? They have made what should have been their flagship this year. They basically, the M9 should have been skipped, and this HTC A9 should have been their flagship. And so for me, it's an absolute buy. This reinstates my faith in HTC's engineering chops. You know, the design, arguably, and is a copycat design for some. For me, I think it's an evolution of HTC's existing designs. So I'm not going to, you know, ding them on that. But I think it's a buy. At that price, you know, you just cannot go wrong. $399 for this phone with 3 gigs of RAM and 32 gigs of storage, with this amazing user experience and polished, you know, marshmallow Nexus-like experience is an incredible price for this build-in material. So, go get it is all I have to say. Yes, so this is the HTC One A9, and I'm Miriam for Before You Buy. Cheers.
It's a buy for the HTC A9. I know there's a lot of people who say that it copies the iPhone design, but you know what? They had it first. If you want a stylish phone for Android that gives you all the features you desire, Miriam says you definitely need to check that out. Now, don't forget you can find Miriam all over the Twit TV network. She is often on All About Android on Tuesdays nights. She's almost always on Before You Buy. And if you really want to find out what she's up to, go to her Twitter profile, at Tank Girl. That's Tank Girl, but remove all the vowels. Now let's change it up and head out of the studio. Every once in a while, we want to bring you beyond the comfortable confines of the brick house. And in this case, we went to San Francisco for the holiday spectacular to look at an alternate way of locking up your valuables. Padlocks and key locks are so last millennium. If you want to be in the future, you have to be here at the Master Lock booth, taking a look at the future of your personal security. I'm speaking with Chris, who's going to explain why your next lock may be Bluetooth enabled. Chris, what is this?
This is a Bluetooth smart connected padlock. So for those of you who always forget your combinations or lose your keys, now your smartphone is your key.
What I like about this is you're not just using the Bluetooth security protocols. Your engineers have gone ahead and encrypted the communication, so even if someone is listening in, they won't be able to get your combination or figure out how to unlock. Now, the way that this works in this mode is I have to push the lock, and it will activate the Bluetooth transceiver on here. Then I can lock or unlock it from my device, as it just did. Tell me, why did you decide on this design?
We took a look at consumer products. We found that consumers liked certain shapes, certain form factors. So we came up with basically the most ergonomic design, the smallest footprint, and the best utilization of the Bluetooth footprint and power consumption, and packaged it all up into one great size.
You've also included some very forward-looking features. For example, you can't run out of power. I know that's always going to be a problem when people think about electronic locks is, well, what happens if it dies and I'm out of my locker or out of my storage unit? You've included a 9-volt battery port on the bottom so that if in case of emergency, I can charge it back up really quickly. But it also lasts for 2 years on a charge. Who do you think will want one of these? Is this supposed to replace all the old locks, or is Master Lock just looking at this as sort of a one-up for people who want a bit more out of their lock?
Well, it's a bit of both. There are the techies who would like to be able to use their device to open their lock. And then you've got the outdoor user, the person who has a shed or a gate at home who accesses it in the middle of the night, needs to not be able to see their lock to use it. And that's obviously an easy, that's a no-brainer for the outdoor lock. And then you have someone like an office manager who maybe wants to share access to secured areas within their facility with multiple employees.
Okay, Chris, the big questions, pricing and availability. Where can they pick up either the small one here or the larger, heftier unit? And how much is it going to set them back?
The indoor unit that you're holding is about $50. This will be the outdoor unit, which will be about $60, and they will be available online in a few weeks.
And if they want to go online to find out more about Master and this entire series, where do they go?
They can go to masterlock.com, and we will put up a notice when they are available for sale.
I'm Father Robert Ballister here at the Holiday Spectacular, and folks, you got to keep it locked wirelessly. Now, hopefully we can get a couple of these Master Locks into the studio because I am very much intrigued by using my phone as my authentication device, not just in the digital world, but in the real world. Speaking of authentication in the real world, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the first sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy, and it's the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, this right here, this is what the Ring Video Doorbell looks like. In this one self-contained kit, you'll find everything you need to install this in your home. You've got the tools, the drill bits, even the levels so you install it properly. Now, the Ring Video Doorbell, just like the name sounds, it's a doorbell. And you might be asking yourself, what's so fancy about a doorbell? Well, imagine a doorbell that turns your house into a caller ID system. Before we get into that, let me tell you how you power this. You're going to like this. There's two different ways you can do it. If you have wires going to your current doorbell, that means there's voltage going through it because, well, that's how that works. You can charge it straight off of your house power and never have to worry about charging the battery. If you don't have that, or if you have an installation where there are no wires going out to it, this has a micro USB port, and with a single charge, it will be good for a year. Now, here's how the Ring Video Doorbell actually works. It will connect to your home Wi-Fi system, and it has two modes of operation. If someone pushes the button, it will initiate a call with your smartphone no matter where you are. In fact, my family has this at their home in Las Vegas, and they were able to answer the front door when they were halfway around the world and start a video call. They were able to tell the gardener that, no, I'm sorry, they don't need service this week, or they were able to tell the delivery person that, could you please put those packages underneath this particular plant so they'll be safe? It really is a different way of looking at authentication at your house. Now get this. This is my favorite part. This is not a gimmick. This is the actual Ring Video Doorbell that is installed at my family home in Henderson, Nevada. Now, I was able to capture myself right before I left the last time. This is what it looks like. I've got a fisheye view of myself as I'm coming up to the door. It's activated by the motion sensor, and it allows me to find out if I am, well, obviously I'm being a creeper because, yeah, that's
That's a little bit weird. Yeah, we don't normally see a whole lot of dancing out there. But imagine what you could do with this. If someone is coming by to check out the house, to see if maybe anyone's home, if they're looking into the windows, if they're peeking through the door, you want to know. More importantly, you want to be able to take that video and record it just in case something happens. Folks, this is what the Ring Video Doorbell is. It's not just a security system. It's peace of mind. Why not try the device that Time magazine called one of the best devices of 2014? Right now, you can get free FedEx shipping from Ring when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. That's ring.com/beforeyoubuy. With Ring, you're always home. And we thank the Ring Video Doorbell for their support of Before You Buy. Coming up next, Brian, I got to ask you this. Why is it that we always seem to give you the technology that has the most chance of death and dismemberment?
I think Carson has it out for me, but maybe it's because I'm the most expendable at the studio.
And you know what? No. I'm thinking it's because we know that you are the only one who can handle that kind of power.
I guess that's it. And it probably helps that I have a motorcycle helmet. So
yeah, that's actually very true, because you do need it for a lot of these reviews. We asked you to take a look at the Mavericks USA Urban Spirit Electric Skateboard, and this is what almost killed you.
Brian Burnett here from Before You Buy, and today I'm taking a look at the Mavericks Urban Spirit 400-watt electric skateboard. The Urban Spirit comes in at $449. Going over the specs real quick, this skateboard has a top speed of 14 miles per hour, give or take how much you weigh, a range of around 6 miles, and a lithium battery that has a charge time of 4 to 6 hours. The overall weight is 33 pounds, and you will definitely feel that considering it's a little awkward to kind of pick up. The maximum weight capacity is listed at 187 pounds. I am roughly around 165, and it was fine pushing me around. I never had any issues with maintaining traction or having the skateboard slow down. One of the nice things about this skateboard is it has plenty of safety features, a little clip-on strap that you can put on your pant leg, so in case you fall off the board, it'll stop it. Also, if you're too far away from the board with the remote, it'll also stop. On the top of the board is a little green LED to indicate that the board is actually on. The remote itself is kind of janky feeling. It is a throttle where if you pull back towards yourself, the board will start going. And if you push forward, it will break. The brakes, fortunately, work really well. I was pretty impressed. They aren't too jarring. They kick in just a little bit at first, and then once you get used to them, it's easy to slow the board down with the brakes. Considering I'm not that great at skateboarding, I went down into our recently emptied basement and kind of fooled around a little bit and practiced with the board, and it's really simple to ride around. I'm not that great at turning. I'm sure other people can turn better. And I'm sure if I had loosened the trucks a little bit, it would have turned a little bit better too. But in the end, it is a long board, so it's not quite as agile as, say, your average skateboard. So after performing some crazy stunts down in the basement and feeling confident on the board, I realized it's really great for transporting your old electronics. Especially if they're pretty heavy, so definitely a pro for that. Finally, after bolstering my confidence, I decided to take the board out into the real world and see how it performed. Going over bumps, little bumps and ridges in the concrete were handled fine, about as well as you can expect with any longboard or skateboard. A slight incline, it didn't really like it very much. It would push me at about maybe 5 miles per hour going up the hill. But with a little bit of kick pushing, it was manageable. So what are the pros and cons? The pros, first off, it's really easy to use the skateboard. It's pretty much just turn it on and pull the trigger on the remote and just focus on where you're going. Another pro is that the brakes work really well. I was glad to see that they didn't kick in very heavily, but once they did start, they would slow you down pretty well. And then as for cons, the first con is price. Coming in at $449, it is a little pricey for a skateboard. But if you are an avid skater and you really want an electric motor, maybe that's not that bad. Another con is the build quality. The board itself felt nice and well put together, but the remote feels really chintzy and also feels like it could shatter if you dropped it. Is the Urban Spirit electric skateboard a buy, try, or don't buy? I have to give it a try. If you're someone who really likes to board, but maybe you don't want to have to push for those long stretches, this could be a good alternative for you. This has been Brian Burnett from Before You Buy. Thanks for watching.
It's a try for the Maverick USA Urban Spirit electric skateboard. It didn't quite kill Cranky Hippo, which I guess just makes him stronger. Of course, you can find Cranky Hippo here on the Twit TV network with me every Thursday at 11 a.m. If you want to know how to do things, then you got to check out our DIY Maker Show. Also, you can find him behind the scenes. He's often found creeping behind the other shows here on the Twit TV network. And he's an all-around nice guy. Isn't that right, Cranky Hippo?
If you say so, Padre. People have been saying different, though, since I've had this beard.
It's the beard, man. It's definitely the beard. Speaking of the beard, you need to fear the beard just like you fear a gamer, a pro gamer. We gave a pro gaming mouse to Mike Elgin, and we wanted to see if it would help him to own. This is the Mionix, you really got to tell me how you pronounce your company's name, Caster Gaming Mouse.
Hey, Mike Elgin here, news director here at Twit. I'm here to review the Mionix Caster Gaming Mouse. This is a $69.99 mouse, and it doesn't look like some of the more extreme gaming mouses out there because it's kind of, by gaming mouse standards, pretty minimalist, actually. It has only six fully programmable buttons. There's the left and right click, the back and forward buttons on the left. It's got a rubber-coated scroll wheel, which feels very nice, and a DPI toggle switch behind the scroll wheel. Now, putting the button behind the scroll wheel is actually a great place for it because there's no way you're going to accidentally press that button. But when you do press it, you can toggle between three levels of DPI, and I'll get to that again in just a minute. Now, it's got nicely rubberized grips, so every surface of this mouse is either super grippy and rubberized, or if it's the bottom, it's Teflon coated and smooth as silk for better performance. And it's designed, this mouse is supposed to be designed, I should say, for every kind of grip, for a fingertip grip, for a palm grip, for a claw grip. If you have larger hands and you want to do a palm, this mouse is a little on the small side. It's somewhat smaller than your average gaming mouse. Now, if you notice on the cable is this nice braided cable, and it's 2 meters long. It's a very, very long USB cable. Now, one thing you should know, that if you're left-handed, this is not the mouse for you. This is a right-handed mouse. The company does make a mouse that's for both left and right-handed people, and this is not that mouse. This is for right-handed people only. One of the crazy things about this mouse is that it's got an optical sensor configurable to between 50 and 10,000 DPI in steps of 50 increments. So you can go in and use the software to fine tune exactly what those three programmed steps are on the DPI button. Now, this has a 32-bit ARM processor running at 32 megahertz and onboard memory. It's only got 128K, but that's plenty because that's going to retain your settings. So when you set this to the software, the settings are retained in the mouse. So as you carry this mouse from system to system, the settings will remain because, again, they're on the mouse. And it's all, as you can see, it's got a multicolored LED, which is highly programmable. You can change the colors. You can give it special effects, like it does a strobing effect or whatever. Now, this has optional configuration software, which you can download, but you don't need it. If you just pull it out of the box and plug it into the USB port, it'll work perfectly. And the settings that are pre-configured on the mouse are really great. I mean, they're fine for most users. But if you want to go in there and fine-tune every little detail of this mouse, you're going to have to get the software. It also has something, interestingly, called a SQAT, a Surface Quality Analyzer tool. And it will basically, you just put it on the surface and move the mouse around and say, yeah, this is not a very good surface. You need a better mouse pad. You need a better surface. And so it'll enable you to optimize exactly what the material is that they have the mouse on for super high performance gaming. And that is a great feature. And you can set up five profiles, so you can adjust all these different things, maybe for five people or one person in five games or however you want to set it up. This is a kind of mouse that is not an over-the-top crazy gaming mouse to the point where you can't use it for everyday use. This is a great mouse for everyday mousing. So you may want to have at least two profiles, one for gaming and one for just regular productivity work. It connects via USB. And that's pretty much all the basic information about this mouse. And, you know, just looking at the pros and cons, it's got super smooth and accurate performance to to try it is to understand. You can't really understand how this feels until you try it, but it's a very high-performance mouse and feels really, really great to use. It's got a really low price, I think, for some of the high-end features that it has. Many of the features in this mouse are found in mice that are far more expensive, and again, $69.99 is the price. And again, I like the fact that they haven't gone over the top with buttons and programmability. It's just enough. It's still a reasonably normal mouse that's comfortable to use, and there's not a huge learning curve. And in fact, you don't have to learn anything to use it. You could just plug it in and use it, and you'd have just this great mouse. So I like that fact that it's not overkill. Now, on the con side, some high-end programmable mice have weights that you can add so you can adjust the weight of the mouse itself. This doesn't have that feature. The mouse itself out of the box is 93.8 grams, which is in the ballpark of what a good gaming mouse would weigh. But this is a good mouse for people who have small to medium-sized hands. If you have gigantic hands, it's probably too light and it's probably too small. And so that's something to consider. If you've got really big hands. And again, another con is that there's no left-hand inversion. So if you're left-handed, you just simply shouldn't use this mouse. So is this a try, buy, or don't buy? I'm going to give this a buy. This is a great mouse at a very good price. And if you're like me and you like a gaming mouse for regular work, this is a great mouse for you. And if you're a gamer, this is great for playing first-person shooters and all kinds of different games, especially first-person shooters. This is a really solid, high-quality mouse. Everybody seems to love it. It's a very popular mouse in the gaming community right now. And so I would give this a definite buy. And that is my review of the Myonix Caster Gaming Mouse.
It's a buy for the Myonix Caster Gaming Mouse. If you are an e-games and e-sports professional, you need to up your game. And Mike Elgin says, well, that's the device you're going to need. Now, before we move on, let's go ahead and thank the second sponsor of Before You Buy, and it's Ting. Now, what is Ting, you may ask? Is Ting just another cell phone provider? No, it's actually a MVNO. Well, what that means is that they get to leverage the services of multiple mobile operators to give you the best possible service for the lowest possible price. Now, Ting takes two different nationwide coverages. That's Sprint and AT&T. It's the first mobile service provider to allow you to have devices on different networks under the same easy-to-manage account. They've got superior pricing with an average monthly bill of $23 per device. Ting is helping people save a lot of money on their monthly cell phone bills. Now, with Ting, you get to use your phone the way you want, and how you use it determines how much you pay. In other words, it's fair. How about that? We've never heard that from a mobile plan. Now, there are no overage charges or penalties. Ting has no contracts, and you only pay for what you use each month. If you're stuck in a contract, how about this? Ting will give you credit if you're paying an early termination fee to come over to Ting. They offer 25% credit of your ETF up to $75 per device for coming to Ting. Just go to ting.com/ETF for more information. Oh, 80% of devices can come to Ting because, again, it operates on both T-Mobile, a GSM carrier, and Sprint, a CDMA carrier. Just use their device checker at ting.com/BYOD to see if your device can make the move. They've got a powerful online account control panel, which lets you take control of your account, not just at the beginning and the end of the month when your bill comes. You get to see in real time how much data you're using, how many minutes you're using, how much money you're going to be paying. This is the kind of power that a company that cares about you will give you. If you're looking to upgrade, no problem. Ting has plenty of options for you in their online store. Once you have the device you want to use with Ting, they'll walk you through getting started, including bringing over your existing number or getting a new one. This is what we want you to do. We want you to save money and better manage your cell usage with Ting. And who doesn't want to do that? Viewers of Before You Buy save $25 off select devices or mobile phone services just for getting started. That's beforeyoubuy.ting.com. And we thank Ting for their support of Before You Buy. Now, are you a user of the Apple Watch? Are you a happy user of the Apple Watch? We asked our very own Megan Maroney, who is sort of our maven, our guru for all things Apple Watch, what she would want to use, what kind of accessory she'd want to take out of our stack of gadgets. And she chose the Bobine Watch Apple Watch Charger.
I am Megan Maroney, and I host Tech News Tonight, iOS Today, and i5 for the iPhone. And I am here to review the Apple Watch Charger by Bobeen, the Bobeen Apple Watch Charger by Fuse Chicken. This is a watch charger that fits with the charging cable that comes with your Apple Watch. They don't make chargers yet that have their own charger internally. They just don't do it. Apple doesn't let you. So what you'd have to do is you just place your Apple Watch charger into the little hole there and then plug it in the USB here. Then you take your watch off to charge it, and you place it on the charging cable, and it will start charging if the USB is plugged in. The other thing that is great with Watch OS 2 comes with nightstand mode, which means you can lay this on your nightstand and on the side, and then if this were plugged in, it would come up with the time. And then it also, if you have an alarm set on it, it brightens the screen slowly right before you have to wake up, which is cool. The other thing that this will work for is in your car. I'm not really sure why you would want to charge your Apple Watch in the car, but I could see that you might want to if you're going on a really long drive, or maybe you drive for a living and you drive all day and you just want to be able to see it set up as opposed to on your wrist. And then that way you could maybe, while you're sleeping, you could wear the watch and track your sleep with it because you've been charging it all day in your car. This charging stand is about $25, which is about the price of many of the stands that I've tried. This stand, I like it better than some of the other stands because it's adjustable. So depending on how high your bedside table is, you can raise it up or lower it. It doesn't fall off. I've tried some stands that the watch falls off in the middle of the night and then it stops charging, which is a big bummer for the next day. This one's pretty sturdy and doesn't fall off, and you can adjust it in the car also. If you like this style, you might also want to try some of the other Bobeen chargers. This one is for your iPhone. We've reviewed this one before. It's really cool too. You can just use it as a dock and a charger, plug the USB to your laptop and charge it and use it as a stand. And this also works in your car too. So this one is about $25, and I would definitely give it a buy if you're looking for Apple Watch stand. The pros are that it is stable. It looks good. The price is right. And I don't really know any cons. I guess it is a little bit wobbly. If that bothers you, that might be a con for you. But I would definitely give it a buy. I am Megan Maroney. Back to you, Padre.
It's a buy for the Bobeen Watch Apple Watch Charger. If you're looking for an accessory that has a bit of style and can charge your treasured device, take it from our very own Megan Maroney. That's the one you want to get. And don't forget, you can find Megan Maroney here on the Twit TV network every weekday at 4 p.m. Pacific time for Tech News Tonight, as well as iOS Today and i5 for the iPhone. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Before You Buy. I want to thank all of our reviewers. That includes Miriam Jouard. That includes Mike Elgin. Of course, that includes Megan Maroney and Brian
Burnett. It's Burnett.
Burnett?
Yeah.
Brunette, like the hair?
Burnett.
Wait. Have I seen you before? What do you do here?
I don't look familiar to you?
No. Well, what's your job here?
Sometimes I do a how-to show. I think the co-host I do it with is a priest. I could be wrong. That's on Thursdays. How to make your stuff. Check it out. And you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Yeah, none of that's really striking a bell, but I'll take your word for it. In any case, don't forget that we do this show every Friday at around 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Just go to live.twit.tv. And if you want to jump into our chat room, jump in at irc.twit.tv and be part of the interactive flow. It's like a mojo thing, man. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballas here, just reminding you, you gotta watch before you buy.